Going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning, verses 15 through 23. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. It'll go away in a minute. The Apostle Paul writes, through the direction of the Holy Spirit. What then, are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you very much, buddy. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for the grace that has been poured upon our lives, and I pray that we would seek every advantage that we have in it, that we would not allow ourselves to be encumbered with the guilt and the weight of sin that we had to carry so long before we knew you as Lord and Savior. But I also pray, Lord, that you would cause in us, stir in us a desire to live worthy of that grace that we've been given. May the time we spend today in your word challenge and strengthen us. May it convict us if we are not walking in right relationship with you. But most of all, Lord, we just desire to not leave here the same as we came. We want to know that we're walking in a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was interesting. I was in Moldova, it was about 16 years ago, 15 years ago. And I was speaking at a little church, probably about one section of pews, three-quarters of the way back. And in this little church, there was a balcony that wrapped all the way around the sanctuary. And the pews were full, and there were people standing in the aisles on both sides. And the balcony was full, the seating, and the people were standing along the wall in the back of the balcony. And they tell me that there were over 300 people in this little tiny church out in the villages in Moldova. And I got up to preach, and I started out very emotional, loud, and I was speaking through an interpreter. In fact, in Moldova, I had to speak through two interpreters. So I would preach, and then I would pause, and they'd speak in Russian, and they would speak in another language. So that would go on, but I am severely allergic to flowers. And there was a flower right here in the middle of the pulpit. And as I began to preach, my voice began to get weaker and weaker and weaker. No microphone to help me out. And by the end, I was whispering to the translators, and then they were telling them what to say. I tell you that story because that's how my voice feels this morning. So if I get weaker and weaker and weaker, Kevin, just turn me up, all right? That'll be much better. All right. Responding to grace. We're looking at two possibilities in chapter 6 because of the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has poured upon us while we were in a helpless state, unable to save ourselves. Realizing this is important, realizing that we are saved by grace and nothing else. Nothing else matters. The things that we do, the traditions that we have, the disciplines that we put in place, they have nothing to do with our salvation. They have everything to do with the response that we have to our salvation. But our salvation is by grace alone, right? Because we were unable to save ourselves, which is such a wonderful, wonderful truth that we find in the preceding chapters of Romans. The first possibility we looked at last week is that we could continue in our sin so that the reign of grace would be magnified. So at the beginning of the chapter, the Apostle Paul says to us, listen, we could go on sinning. Let's just go on sinning so that grace looks better, right? The greater the sinner I am, the more powerful the grace it took to save me. And then Paul explains to us that it doesn't really work that way. It was interesting. I was sitting in a church meeting one night when I was pastoring in Michigan. And I like to tell stories while I'm preaching about my life and about what the Lord is doing in my life and use those things as illustrations. And one of the gentlemen in the church spoke up one day and he says, Pastor, I just got to tell you that the sins that you talk about in your life, they do not communicate with us because they're not severe enough. And I sat down for a minute and thought, how am I going to respond to this? He goes on to say, he goes, when you get angry, you ask for forgiveness, and when you you've never cheated on your wife or done any of those things, so you can't possibly understand what it's like to be in our world. And so as I was thinking, one of the elders of the church stood up, and I'm so grateful for elders in the church who are spiritual men, stood up and he says, the problem is, if he was experiencing those things in his life that we are talking about, he wouldn't be qualified to be our pastor, right? So the thing is, grace doesn't work that way, all right? Grace is not given more as an individual rejects God. Grace is given more as an individual tries to follow him in spite of the difficult circumstances they may be experiencing. You want to magnify grace, you follow Christ. You don't magnify grace by living in sin. So that was the first possibility. The possibility we're going to deal with today is, in responding to grace, is that we could continue in sin because we are no longer constrained by the law. All right, so this is, what then, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? This reminds me of first getting married. This even reminds me of first being an adult. Does anybody remember what it was like when you were first an adult? You had your own place and your own rules and your own time schedule and all of those things. And I remember I would stay out as a young adult. I would stay out until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd have to get up in the morning and go to work. And I quickly learned that that wasn't going to be an efficient way to live, right? That the rules that my parents had established for me as a young person were not just there because they were being mean, right? It was because they were trying to establish a pattern in my life so that I would be able to live a good life, that I wouldn't waste my time and go to work and fall asleep at the work table, right? So this is, do we continue at sin because we're no longer constrained by the law? He says no, it doesn't work that way. The law wasn't there to hold us down. The law was there because it was protecting us from ourselves. It was showing us our sin. And so we don't reject the law now just because it no longer is going to condemn us because we're under grace. So So possibility number two is to continue in sin because we're no longer constrained by the law. The grace of God has given us the ability. This is the difference. The grace of God has given us the ability to choose whom we will serve. That's what's different now. Before grace, we could only serve sin. But now, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've believed on Him in salvation, if you've had grace poured upon you, now when you sin, it's because you chose to do it. When a kid is a child and their parents allow them to stay up too late, or their child does not eat the appropriate food, they are malnourished, then we blame the parent. But when an individual grows into an adult and they get to choose the food that they're going to eat and they get to choose their bedtime, then it's no longer the parent's fault that the child is not doing well, that they're not getting enough rest and that they're not eating well. It becomes the fault of the individual who is choosing to do what they want to do instead of what they have been taught is right and good. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Sin has now become a default. So sin has now become a choice and not a default. All right. So this grace that God has given us the ability to choose whom we will serve, and this sin has now become a choice and not a default. It's not what we naturally do anymore. For an individual who has grown in the Lord Jesus Christ, been saved by grace, and they have learned what is right and good and true, for that individual to sin against what God has instructed him to do through His Word, they have to jump past what is right and good. They have to jump past what they know that they're supposed to do. Either of sin, which leads to death. So here's our choice. We choose sin. Can we get something clear amongst us this morning? Sin always leads to death. All right? Go ahead, say that with me. Sin always leads to death, right? So we're not talking about eternal death. Eternal death for the believer has been removed. It's no longer a possibility. It's no longer a consequence. All those who are in Christ are in Christ, and they will remain in Christ. They don't have to worry about ever again about whether or not they're going to spend an eternity in hell. So we're not talking about eternal death, because grace is sufficient to save us and sufficient to assure that salvation. If grace can be taken away, then that grace is not a gift. Instead, it's an advance. It's an advance with requirements behind us. This is how we're doing allowances for our kids over the summertime. There is an amount of money that they're going to receive every week. And throughout the week, as they don't do the things that they're supposed to do, we're going to take a little bit of the money away. I found out last night how effective that is, because I took the clean laundry down to the children's bedrooms and I dropped the basket in the room and I said, tomorrow I'm going to begin deducting $5 a day for every day that this laundry is left. And I went downstairs this morning and all the laundry's put away. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, right? Yeah, yeah. They didn't like that so much, did they? So, in grace, but grace would not be sufficient if it was like that. It's not like that. He doesn't say, all right, here's grace, and little by little, as you sin, I'm going to take a little bit away from you. I'm going to remove my salvation from you. It doesn't work that way. Grace is sufficient to save us, and it's sufficient to assure our salvation. But the consequence of sin, even for those who are under grace, is still death. Look with me at James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. It says this: but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So sin every time. Every time we commit sin, we are causing death to take place in this world. It is the result. Death of relationships, death of reputations, death of marriages. There is death with sin. There is dying with sin. There is death with sin. Guys, how many times have you gotten in an argument with your wife and you lost your temper? Please tell me I'm not the only guy who's ever lost his temper. And you said something, and as it slipped between your lips, you wished at that very moment that you could have taken it back. And you hurt her. When you did that thing, you caused death. You injured the relationship that you have with her. And it's only by her grace and forgiveness towards you that that relationship begins to be restored. So many times in marriages, the reason that marriages begin to fall apart is there's not forgiveness and there's not restoration after these things take place. But don't kid yourself in thinking that you can live in sin and that there won't be any dying. Every time that we sin, there is dying that takes place. That's what the scriptures say. When an individual under grace determines they're going to live in sin, they're lying to themselves and rejecting what they know to be true about sin and its consequences. Sin is going to have its satisfaction. Death is going to occur. The problem with sin for those under grace is the reality of choice. The unsaved have only death. You understand this. We talked about this last week. The unsaved, they are dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. So all they can do is continue dying until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But for the individual who is under grace, every time we sin, we choose death. We choose death over life. Obedience to the law for us has become a guide to right living for those who have been made righteous under grace. So first we realize that sin is no longer our default. Sin is something that we choose every time that we do it. But second, we realize that obedience to the law has become a guide. It's not a hard, fast, you do this thing or you are not righteous. It's not that anymore. That's what it was. For the Jews who were in Israel, it was that way. In fact, it's so much that way that the reason the Pharisees got in trouble is their fear of the law was so great that they made more laws to protect themselves from breaking the laws. Instead, obedience to the law has become a guide to right living for those who have been made righteous under grace, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So now obedience to the law is a choice to live as God intended us to live. And failure to uphold the law has already been forgiven. This is grace. Responding to grace is, all right, I am going to choose to live the way that God has instructed me to live. But if I fail to do what God has instructed me to do, He is not going to hold me accountable for it any longer because I have been forgiven of that sin. Which makes me want to more and more do what God wants me to do. No more judgment. Only satisfaction of living the way that God intends for us to live. So sin has become a choice and not a default, and obedience to the law has become a guide to right living for those who have been made righteous under grace. This is because the grace God has given us the ability to choose. We get to choose now. Do you understand that? The grace of God gives us the ability to choose right and wrong, righteousness and sin. But thanks be to God, he says in verse 17. Our response to God for the choice given to us under grace is one of thanksgiving. We say, all right, no, I don't have to be worried about whether or not I'm going to do this right or not anymore. How many of you have ever been under an examination while you were working. A working exam, physical working exam. When I was learning how to do, I worked with a cement siding company for a while, and while I was learning to do cement siding, I had to work with a contractor. I had to work with a series of three contractors, and each one was judging me. Every day they were giving me an A or a B or a C. And I was working with this one contractor who, unfortunately for me, was a Finnish carpenter. He was the guy that they would hire to come in and do all the oak work in the house after it was done. And he told me to go up on the second story of this house and stand on the side of the roof and put a trim around a window, and it needed to be perfect when I was done. And then he said, and I'm watching, and when you're done, I'm going to go up and look. And I remember vividly standing on the side of that roof, and I'd put maybe 50 of these windows in before, so I knew exactly what I was doing, but because he was watching me, I was shaking while I was trying to nail the board in. I don't know how you older guys with hammers and nails did it on heights like that. I just had to squeeze a trigger, right? But because of the law before, they were always worried about whether or not they were living in obedience to the law, because if they broke the law, they were going to be judged for it. But now under grace, we're living under the law, living in obedience to God, but we are not afraid of consequences because we've already been forgiven. Does that make sense? This is a huge difference, and because of that grace, we give thanksgiving. He says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart. So he says that we are free under grace to choose life in obedience to God. That's what we should be choosing. Now I'm not afraid of the law. Now I'm going, but because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, I want to follow him. I want to do what he has asked me to do. I want to live the way that he has instructed. Why do I want to live the way that he has instructed? Because he knows the way that I should go. That's why. And we are free under grace to choose a life of obedience. That you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart. And then our obedience to God is no longer out of necessity, but rather out of desire. Dating relationships. I hope that Tracy outlives me and I never have to worry about dating again, right? It'd be wonderful. Because when you're dating, guess what you have to do when you're dating an individual? You have to work really hard. You're trying to convince this person that you are worthy of marrying. Right? And somehow I passed that test, even though I don't think I was very worthy of it. But you're working so hard to gain this relationship. And then you get married. I'm going to talk to you about one of my greatest pet peeves of all marriages. Then you get married, and so many guys and so many girls go, all right, I got them. I'm good. I don't have to work any. That's right. They take it for granted, right? So this is the deal. Listen, they were following the law out of necessity, hoping that somehow, if I could follow the law well enough, I would be accepted. But under grace, they've now been accepted. Under grace, now they are married to Christ. And because they are married to Christ, their obedience to God is no longer out of necessity, but out of a desire. And this is what should happen in marriages, right? You are dating this individual and out of necessity trying to earn favor with them so that they will want to marry you. You love them and you cherish them and you take care of them and you treat them properly and you speak to them well. But once you get married, what should happen in marriage is because this person has devoted their life to you, you should want to, out of a desire to love and cherish that individual who is never going to leave, be more faithful than you were even when you were dating. That's how our relationship with Christ should be, under grace. Under the law, they did it out of necessity, trying to earn something. But under grace, it's been given to them. It's theirs. And so he says, it's no longer out of necessity, but out of desire for this one who died on the cross for your sins. He says that you have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. He says you still need to be committed to following the instruction of the Word of God, grace or not. And having been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, our new position before God has produced in us an eternal longing to live according to His will. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I have a friend, fellow pastor who attends the men's Bible study out at Bruce Hunt's. He and I were walking back to the car one day, and we were talking about the difference between the individual who is walking with the Lord and the individual who is not walking the Lord. And he said to me this phrase, it just stuck in my head, said, the problem with an individual who is not walking with the Lord is their want to is broken. Right? He says, your want to is broken. When we come to Christ, our want to is fixed. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. Grace living for those who have just begun to walk with the Spirit of God. So we realize that now we have to, we want to, we desire to, we long to, find satisfaction in walking with Christ. So he says, listen, let me explain this to you. Let me speak to you in human terms because of your natural limitations. He's saying to them, listen, I understand that you are babes in Christ. And so I'm not going to speak to you in spiritual words. I'm going to speak to you in a human way, in a natural way, a way that you will understand. And he gives us these realities of grace living for those who have just begun to walk in the Spirit. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So he says, listen, here is, and I was tempted to write it this way, but I didn't. Because of a series of books, I didn't want anybody to take it wrong, but I was going to call it, This is Grace Living for Dummies, right? Just like the Grace Living Computers for Dummies and Car Working and for Dummies and all this stuff. This is what this is. Ray Pritchard would say, Ray Pritchard says that he is a Walmart person, right? Anybody here else a Walmart person? He says, I'm a Walmart person. And he wrote a book. He says, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Walmart language, is what he says. We can understand it easily, right? I can understand grace living easily. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, so he said, before you were under grace, you lived in whatever manner you suited you. All right, so first, before you were under grace, you said, all right, sin, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. This is what I long for. This is what I desire. This is what makes me feel good. Everything was based on our own desires and longings. But this living in whatever manner suited you led us to lawlessness. So then as we indulged into that, we begin living in even more lawlessness. You know what sin does, interestingly? When we begin to sin, sin begins to compile itself upon itself, one after another, after another, after another. My friend Artie Parlin says it like this. He says, when you begin to live in sin, sin calls all its relatives and they begin to have a sin reunion in your life, right? So he says, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which led to more lawlessness, so living according to whatever manner suited you led you to further and further from God, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. So in the same way that you presented yourselves to sin to do whatever you wanted to do. Now he says, present yourself to God to do what he wants you to do. Now that you're under grace, you surrender yourself to what God wants. Before I was surrendered to sin, now I'm surrendered to God, leading to sanctification. Surrender to what God wants will lead you to become more and more like Jesus. So surrender to sin leads you further and further and further away from God. But surrender to Christ, surrender to living in righteousness, surrender to God's will for your life leads you to become more and more and more like Jesus. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So before you were under grace, you did not have an obligation towards God's will for your life. I promise you that individuals who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are not asking this question: what is God's will for my life? They're saying, hey, what do I want to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? How am I going to spend my life? What's going to make me happy? But the believer is not asking what is going to make me happy. The believer is asking what is going to make God happy. What is God's will for my life? What does he desire for me? So before you were under grace, you didn't have an obligation towards God's will for your life. You were, while you were living that way, he says you were also producing things that you are now ashamed of. So before, he says, before you were under grace, you didn't care what God wanted. And it was during that life that you produced things in your life that you're now going, oh man, I cannot believe that I did that. I hope nobody ever finds out. He says, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. So he says, you were doing things that you were ashamed of, and the fruit of those things that you were ashamed of was nothing of eternal value at all. You read Ecclesiastes, great letter written to us by King Solomon, and what does he say over and over and over about his endeavors into this world and sin? All is vanity. Vanity, all is vanity. Now that you can choose to not sin and have given yourself to God's ways, he says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, right? So now you don't have to sin anymore. You have determined, I'm going to go God's ways. Listen to this. The fruit you get leads to sanctification. So he says, now I'm not doing whatever I wanted to do anymore. Now I'm doing whatever God wants me to do. And as I do whatever God wants me to do, that will lead to sanctification. Those things produced from your life are now praiseworthy and honorable, not shameful. And the end of this way of living, this following after God, is a life with God that will never cease. So when we're living for ourselves, then sin produces shame. The things that we do for ourselves, we're ashamed of, and they have no eternal value at all. And then the things that we do for God, once we are under grace, are praiseworthy and honorable, and they're going to last for all of eternity in the life that we have with Christ. And so then that leads us to a choice. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We always use this as a salvation verse. Paul is writing this passage and writing of this in the context of those who must choose grace choose to follow grace because they have it. And he says to them, the wages of sin, this is for unbelievers also. The wages of their sin is going to be an eternity in hell. But the wages of sin for the believer is death. And you have to choose. The choice for every individual is this: death as the payment for living in slavery to sin. Believer, if you do not walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to compile death upon death upon death upon death all of your days. But the gift of grace, which established us in everlasting life with Jesus Christ our Savior, Lord and King. So we can either have the choices to either choose death as the payment for living in slavery to sin, or to choose the gift of grace, which has established us in life everlasting with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. That's how he ends chapter 6. He ends chapter 6. He ends the question about our two possibilities by saying, choose now. Are you going to continue in sin so that grace can abound, so that it will be magnified, so that Jesus will look better? Not understanding that it doesn't work that way. Or are you going to choose to continue in sin because we're no longer constrained by the law and just going to keep on sinning because the law has no judgment over me anymore? Am I going to choose one of those two possibilities that only lead to death, or am I going to choose to grab a hold of this grace that I have been given freely and follow the Lord Jesus Christ into life everlasting? That's where we're at. That's what we're dealing with. So today and tomorrow and throughout the weeks ahead, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose a life that is going to compile death upon death? Or are you going to choose a life of grace, walking with Jesus as he dramatically changes your life forever and leads you into eternity?